All right, it's Wednesday night. We're back to our 7 o'clock start time, and I checked again. It's episode 49. So here we are.
49, almost
Yeah,
50.
almost
Should we do
50,
anything
right?
for that? Is there some sort of podcast tradition
I don't know.
or event that has to happen?
We could ask Claude and see what it says we should do.
That's true.
It'll probably give us some very interestingly weird. Yeah, excellent idea. That's awesome. So, you know, we normally have intro stuff, and I was trying to think of something, and I was like, I don't know. So I thought intro could be, what were your thoughts on the summit, the Toronto summit?
Well, it was interesting. I don't know about you. I had a couple of good sessions. I know you spend most of your day on the floor, basically, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Talking to vendors.
Yeah.
Yeah, a couple of good sessions, one bust, and then yeah, it seemed a little smaller than last time I was there. But
yeah, you know, I kind of felt the same. It did feel smaller. I don't know, like it supposedly was at capacity, right? So it was busy, but yeah, I don't know. And you know, in the past years, the little networking event at the end of the day, it did feel like. It did feel like people cleared out, and because I'm pretty sure it was last year, like we were standing in the expo hall and we had conversations for like the whole 2 hours or whatever. And this time it was kind of like looking around, seeing if we could find anybody that we knew we want to talk to. It just didn't feel the same. I don't know. Maybe there's more parties and stuff now, and we're just not in the cool kid club. So we hung around at the expo hall. Maybe. I don't know. Yeah, I didn't do a single session. I sat in the keynote until they started doing the here's a customer, and I was like, out I go. I don't know, maybe 15 minutes in the keynote. I don't know, like whatever. And then I spent the day just doing laps in the expo hall, looking for people that I knew, right? I generally go there for a networking event, pretty much.
I think that's fair. That's what the vendors are there for, right? And that's what a lot of there's AWS people there at the booth and whatnot. So
yeah,
that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
I'm kind of a whatever the opposite of a butterfly is. I'm that socially, like a social rock. So
I am too. I find it very hard. The gold jacket helps. Because then I don't have to start a conversation. I probably said that to you before, but I force myself to use it as a networking event because I would much rather be behind a keyboard as well, much more introverted, but I just force myself to do it. And I got to tell you, man, I was there for the partner day and the customer day. Holy hell. The train is, you know, I was saying, oh, no parties, but I'm actually glad, to be frank. Like I got in the train on the way home and I was just like, oh my God, I just need my couch. And I got home and I don't think I moved off the couch. I was just in the bag. So it was a fun 2 days. It was neat to, you know, catch up with people that I haven't seen before. Like I bumped into a guy, actually my very first boss at Soft Choice. He was there. He had left Soft Choice a long time ago and he's works for AWS now out of the States. So I was, was kind of interesting to see him there. So kind of fun to kind of, well, just bump into people, right? That that you don't necessarily see all the time. So it was good to catch up.
Yeah, that's the best part of these events. It's a long day, though, especially if you're doing both days for any kind of convention.
Yeah.
Eight till six, right?
No, shit, no. I'm lazy, man. I'm like, I'm not catching a rush hour train. So I went in purposely about, I was probably there by about 10. Yeah, I'm not going to rush down there. Forget it. What am I going to miss, right? Really? Honestly?
A keynote with the customer product placements, yeah.
Yeah, no, not really my thing. So, and you know what? Also, I don't know if this is maybe because the summit isn't as big as some of the other summits. I often find, like, I think either today or yesterday, the LA summit happened. Right.
Oh, yeah.
And I would suspect we will see probably lots of announcements from that. I didn't really look today, to be honest, but I would suspect you'll see new product announcements and stuff, services, but you don't really see that at the Toronto event anyways. So
yeah,
probably they did New a nice York little, see it. Yeah. Yeah. New York's at the end of the month, right? I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was talking to Frank and he's in New York. Right. Oh, yeah. And I was like, are you going? And he's like, well, I don't know. And I'm like, well, how far is like New York City from you? He's like 8 hours and he's in New York. And I was like, what?
Okay.
I'm like,
so he's in like Niagara Falls or something.
Yeah. I guess he's on like the opposite side of New York. Right. Talk about, you know, talk about a Canadian not really understanding American geography. I'm like 8 hours. How is that possible? Like you're in New York, man. Isn't that just around the corner? Nope. So, I got schooled on some American geography when I sat down, I pulled up Google Maps and I was like, oh, that's actually a long ways. That's a big state. So I learned something.
Yeah, quite large.
Yeah. Yeah. Large. Who knew? Not me. So I learned something, man. It's like, was it NBC? They used to do that Now You Know thing with the star.
Oh, whoosh. Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of more you know. What happened to me. Oh, the more you know. That was it. All right. So yeah, Toronto Summit. Cool. I'll go again next year.
Yep.
Yeah. Well,
same here.
It is what it is. Right. I guess the moral of the story is make sure you register early because I did hear from quite a few people that were like, oh crap, I kind of forgot about it and now I can't get tickets. So, register early is the takeaway.
I almost did the same thing again this year. I didn't make the public, sign up, but I did manage to squeak my way in there.
Yeah.
Through like a back channel. So, yeah.
Yeah. There are tickets that are held back because I got a couple for some folks too that, you know, please, I just need a link. Come on. And I managed to get a link here or there. So that's good. All right. So, let's talk about AWS news. I'm dragging my heels this week. So I think all of but one of these things came from you. So thank you for keeping us going. The first one, I don't have these in any particular order. I'm scanning them very quickly to try to put them in some order. Step functions, agent core, powered agentic reasoning. Agent, I think I joked about this a couple weeks ago. Agent core is now like the new EC2.
It's everywhere.
It's like, it's like every week there are multiple features being added to this. So you're able now to, in your step functions, the way I kind of thought of it was make a call to agent core, essentially.
Pretty much, yeah. Like you can, I guess they added a block for Agent Core X, and you can point it to one of your agents, which is kind of pretty interesting for, I guess any workflow where you want to have some kind of fuzzy reasoning in there, but kind of cool.
You know, it made me think because I think I'll have to add it to my to-do list. One of the things that jumped out at me, they gave you a couple examples in the news release, right? And they said about document classification, and it made me think of like years ago when we were working with those folks and we were trying to do. Remember we were using
like
TextTrack
classification. Yeah.
Right. Yep. You do like TextTracks and stuff like that to pull out the info. I immediately thought of that. I was like, oh man, it's a couple years too late, but here we are. So definitely something that's interesting. And the other thing is I wrote down here, I was like in with question mark managed harness in preview mode. I'm like, what the hell is that? So I had to go and check. And this is actually, I think, a feature of Agent Core, which maybe we've talked about before, but you know, a thing that I've always found with AWS is that, well, just the number of updates every day, right? New features, you know, new services and stuff. It's unbelievable. And I don't know about you, but I think it's kind of even worse than it used to be in the sense that like there is just so much now all around AI that it's really, really hard to keep up.
Well, I guess there's just so much infrastructure you have to pump out to be able to make these things useful, right? Like we were talking how much work it is, like the work in making Claude code or Codex or using an LLM to do useful work is not trivial. It's just kind of, you know, like it's not hard, but it's not like challenging in it's a lot of diverse bulk mass work to do, right? Like,
Trying to say. Yeah. I think you're probably right, and just the I think the volume or the velocity of all of the. I haven't logged into my reader, my news reader, for a while, and I logged in today, and I was like, oh shit, like. I think what I'm going to basically have to do is just go to the top and say mark all as red and just say, you missed it. There's no sense in going back. So let's just start fresh from today, because I've just been busy since the summit and I really haven't looked at it a whole lot. And I was like,
oh, yeah,
I guess I need a step function with Agent Core to make a harness call or an agent call and then go out and just help classify stuff for me. So I don't have to try to read it all.
Perfect. Ingest all your RSS feeds and your daily news and classify them into actionable items, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. So I did look up what Agent Core Harness is, and it's basically you can programmatically or in configuration define or declare an agent and then specify the model that you want that agent to use, the tools that it has access to, things like that. So, yeah.
Okay. Like networking, access, credentials, that kind of thing.
Yeah, that kind of stuff, right? So yeah, I thought that was pretty good. And then something that follows along with that is another Agent Core news item or release, I guess. I thought this was really cool. Interactive shells for terminal access in your agent sessions.
Yeah, this was cool.
This was really cool.
Yeah. Do you want to dive into this? This was like you can pull up a shell in your active when your agent is running and working on a task, right?
Yep. Yeah. And I thought it was funny. It made me chuckle at the bottom. It's like they showed you an example command. I'm like, that's just a Docker exec command. Instead it says agent core or something in front of it, whatever it is. But yeah, I could imagine if you're developing solutions, troubleshooting stuff, oh man, that's going to be really helpful, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Especially like, if you need to go in and pull up, like, is it an access error or whatnot? I mean, I assume that you could log that out too. But
I would think you would want to do both, right?
Yeah.
You'd want to persist a log somewhere.
Yeah. If you just need to jump in and fix something quickly, you can now, right?
Yeah.
Which is pretty good. Instead of having to restart the whole run, I guess.
Yeah, it reminds me of that feature in ECS. Is it just called ECS exec or something like that? Where same thing, it uses SSM under the hood and you can just jump onto a running container. And to your point, I do it all the time if I just need some quick information, but I will also, shoot those logs off to CloudWatch logs. So I've got a persistent copy of it there. But if I just need to jump in, I want to have a look at something. I'm thinking of that big Nginx environment that we built years ago.
Yeah.
I'm still the keeper of that.
Sorry.
Yeah, it is what it is. And got to pay the bills, right? So I'll often just need a little piece of information, or you get the, well, it worked yesterday and it didn't work today. So I'll often just jump in, and that ECS exec thing is like, I'd be dead without it. And this reminded me a lot about that or of that. And the other thing that I thought was really cool about this is, I hope I didn't misread this, but it looks like you can reconnect your terminal. So it sort of persists. And if you want to go back, you can just kind of say, hey, start that terminal session again. And it sounds pretty much like a very full featured terminal, like what you would expect in a terminal you might run on your local workstation. So pretty cool.
So it probably has TMUX out of the box. And I mean, that's awesome. Like every time I go to work in an EC2 instance or in Cloud Shell or whatever, I'm always installing TMUX and installing C# and all that. So
Well, it's funny because we were talking about, figuring out a way to test out the Agent Core step functions thing. I have a little Agent Core demo that I built for a customer, and I was working on it. I'm just going to say earlier in the week. All the days are just blending together at this point. So
what day is
earlier? Yeah, I know. My calendar tells me where I have to be. That's the only way I know what I'm supposed to be doing. So I read this and I was like, ooh, I'm going to try that this week. Figure out like, what do I have to do? I'm probably have to enable some feature or something like that. I didn't really look at it in a lot of detail. I'm like, well, there you go. I got a little demo environment that's sitting there. I could try it. Probably very valuable for the customer too, right? As they sort of manage it themselves. So yeah, I definitely think I'm going to poke at that. What else do we have here?
Nice.
Yeah. Oh, toolkits. So Where is this one? Oh, here it is. I thought this was cool. I don't know if I'll actually use it, but the AWS CLI supports the installation of the agent toolkit now for AWS. So you can just
Oh,
run a
cool.
CLI command to install that, just a wizard installation so you can get that running fast. It supports a whole bunch of different solutions like Kiro and Claude and Codex. So all the things we generally talk about here. And essentially what it is our other favorite thing, the AWS MCP server. So
Oh,
it's
okay.
got bundled skills and bundled
Yeah.
plugins, and now you're able just to use it as part of your CLI.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? Jumping back to the summit, this just kind of came out of the blue, top of mind. I saw a demo of the DevOps agent at work, and
Oh
it
yeah.
was pretty interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
But we can go into this after news items. But yeah,
Yeah.
essentially, it looks like you could do a lot of the same things with just this MCP server in an agent loop. So,
Really?
like it bundles a lot of the functionality in it.
Yeah.
For
You know,
pulling logs and whatnot.
it's the same old thing with AWS. There's a thousand ways to skin a cat. You just have to find the way that makes the most sense for your workflow, I think. We're seeing essentially the same thing that AWS has always done, but now just in the AI space. Hey, here are the 14 different ways you could do the same thing. You know,
Yeah,
pick what you
pretty
want,
much.
and everybody's going to have their own slight little tweak to it, but you've got options, which is very AWS like, I would say.
Oh, there's also three companies as well. That's right. Three
Yeah.
clouds and then three big providers. Yeah.
There you go. There you go. What else did I have? I thought I had something else on the. Oh, here it is. Speaking of the MCP server, now also supports both cross account and cross role access, which I think is pretty cool,
Okay.
right? And the example they gave in the news release was like, hey, imagine if you're trying to do log analysis of log files that are stored in multiple S3 buckets across your accounts. Before you would have to like kind of stop and start, right? Go to this account, grab the logs, go to this account, grab the logs. Now with the MCP server, you can either use cross IAM access, right? So sort of that cr typical cross account IAM access that people see, or you can use roles as well to do it. So I don't know. I'm still reluctant with this MCP server, probably just because I'm grumpy that I've got a nice little solution that I like and I don't want to replace it, but I think at some point I might just have to try this.
It's probably worth giving a shot. I am a little leery of granting access to any accounts in like a write kind of way, but I'm totally fine with it using read-only permissions, and it's been really useful even just recently, so for debugging issues. Just because you can, especially if you get your own custom skills going, because you can kind of pipe in what are my, here's my architecture, here's my application, here are the logs that usually have the errors that you want to look for. And it's nice that they're making it more user-friendly. So they used to have some issues in OpenCode, for example, or Claude Code, where it would get stuck for a second trying to find the right profile, because you could set one default, but I think they've updated that, so.
I've worked around that in my environment. I do have a lot of profiles, right? You know this just because we used to jump between so many different customer accounts. So
Oh
I've
yeah.
got a lot of profile definitions, I guess I'll call them, right? For different SSO roles and stuff like that across different
Oh yeah.
customers. But you're right. Like I give it read write access to a couple of my project accounts, but that's it. And I'll save the rest of that story for my personal projects update for the week. But
Nice.
yeah, I think you know what? All joking aside, I've got this nice little workflow with the MCP toolkit. But I think this is probably, I'm kind of surprised at this point that no customers have asked me about this,
Yeah.
particularly the AWS MCP server.
Yeah.
I'm kind of surprised at this point.
Did you think just in terms of their own uses, or
Yeah.
like in terms of questions about your access? Okay. Yeah,
No,
I
like
mean,
more like why, like how could we use this
yeah,
as a
that's
customer, you know,
fair. I
putting my
mean,
customer's hat on, right?
yeah, I guess it depends on how much the org is pushing these kind of AI coding workflows, right? But it is super helpful for the kind of exploratory log work. So yeah, it's weird that they're not.
Well, I wonder if the individual contributor kind of idea, I wonder if they're using it and just not saying anything because
Oh yeah,
they're
that could easily be
maybe
the case.
not sure, you know, maybe still don't want to admit they're using agents to help them with their jobs, or maybe are worried about, you know, somebody saying you can't do that, and they lose a tool that they've become accustomed to using and helping in their day-to-day work. So
Okay,
maybe
I could
that's
see
it.
that.
Or to go back to our earlier point, maybe just the continuous flow of new AI-related stuff, it's just got lost in the wash.
Yeah, that could be. There's such a huge volume of stuff coming out. Also, like, where are we on like the early adopter curve, right? Like, how many people are actually using this stuff in anger? I imagine like
Did
since
you say
like
using this stuff in anger?
did say in anger, yeah, that's a little, oh boy.
You're forcing me to use this, so I will do it in protest, and I will use as many tokens as I possibly can just to make it more expensive. Which, you know, I'm gonna save that. I'm gonna update my notes as we go here. Hold on, because I want to come back to the token. What do they call it? Token maxing.
Oh God, yeah.
Okay,
What
hold
a
on.
yeah. What a term.
Yeah, just a heads up. You got really quiet all of a sudden.
Oh, weird. Hold on.
I'm adjusting your input on my side so that you're gonna say something now, and all of a sudden it's gonna
How about
blast
now?
my.
Am I
Oh,
back?
that's a little better. Yeah, that's a little better.
Huh.
Yeah,
Weird.
weird, weird. Okay, so I'm just looking. Oh, the other thing that you mentioned that I thought was sort of quality of life stuff was Cognito supporting multi-region replication.
Oh, yeah, nice. So this is like, it's crazy that it
Well, yeah,
didn't,
like you just took
honestly.
the words out of my mouth, right? Like, how did we not have this already?
Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing with IAM Identity Center, right? I think we only recently got replication across regions, so you just had to set it up in a region and hope for the best in account, which is not great. So I'm glad they had replication for this as well, because there's all kinds of hacky workflows around Cognito.
I when I saw this in your notes, I forwarded it to a customer because they have Cognito. You probably know who I'm talking about. And I think the last time I looked, there was like a quarter of a million user IDs in there. Right? And it's all in one
Crazy.
region. So I was like,
Wow.
up until now, you really didn't have an option. You just, to your point, right? Like, well, it's a regionally aware service, therefore the entire region in theory would need to go down for that service not to be available. Or I
Yeah.
guess you could have a single service outage across the region. But as soon as I saw this, I was wink through that in Slack and said, you might want to look at this. So yeah.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Yeah, right. Right. Okay, so that's the AWS news stuff. Let's change to my personal favorite, the personal project update for the week. Do you want to start us off?
Sure, I can
Okay.
start.
Okay.
So, what have I been working on this week? This week I've been kind of it's been another week of just working on kind of the system to do the work instead of actually doing the work.
True
So I've been
techie.
working, yeah, it's a priority issue, I guess. I don't know. It's fun though to think about this kind of thing. But I've been working on my a skill. I've just been calling it workhorse, but essentially like what is the loop that I want for defining a sprint or a series of sprints, for example, in terms of like the actual work that needs to get done. How do I keep a project on track through multiple sessions is what I'm trying to figure out, right?
Yeah. Oh,
And
that's
kind of
cool.
reduce that drift. What I've landed on for now is kind of like a North Star document, which is like kind of where I want to end up. And then I'm kind of checking, is the sprint I'm generating, does it follow what we've laid out in terms of like what the goals of this project are? And then going from there, and then I can let the agent loop for a bit and see and make sure that it follows all the standards, like the testing pattern we've set up and whatnot. So that's kind of where I'm at with that. And then on besides that, I've still been working on that programming language and a game engine as well. So the psychosis continues.
Oh, that's hilarious. I love the OS thing. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. You made me think of of something where you're saying, oh, well, you know, I'm working on the tools to help me do the work instead of doing the work. I've done enough stuff now in Claude, and Open Brain has come back to burn me because,
oh no,
I kind of have I think a similar approach that you have with your workhorse skill. I call it the go skill, and
yep.
I can just be in a project directory and type go, and Claude will, like, it's basically got its rules of engagement, right? Go here, look for this, go here, look for that, you know, pull up the context for the project, yada, yada, yada. And away it goes.
It was so much nicer.
But yeah, it
two letters.
Yeah. Yeah. Short. And it's easy to remember, but you made me think of something. So I think I'm very similar in the sense that it's fun to chase shiny objects, right? And I'm always like, ooh, mm-hmm. What could we tweak in Open Brain? And then like, I'll say something and Claude's like, oh, well, wait a second. You told me specifically to highlight when you are making, I'm paraphrasing here because I'm kind of boring from the way you worded this was you're chasing new things instead of completing the tasks that are already here. Like I'll often have I want to write this blog post or I want to do this. And it's like, but wait, you've already given me three blog posts ideas. Have you done one of them yet? And I'm like, oh, you sassy little thing. Like I'm in charge, right? I'm going to do what I want. But I think it's hilarious. And I'm not even prompting it to do that anymore. We've had a couple sessions where I guess it's got it in its context for Open Brain on a couple of the projects, and it will call my shit every once in a while and be like, you got work to do kind of thing, right? So anyways, you made me think of that. And the other thing I want to talk about just quickly, not really a personal project, but I found this on a YouTube video. Y Combinator? So take this with a grain of salt, right? But they've got actually a pretty cool little podcasts. I think they call it Light Cone, and it's pretty good. Doesn't really apply to me too much, but the ideas, the concepts they talk about and stuff like that are kind of interesting. And I thought it was funny because, you know, this idea of token maxing, and I hear it used a lot, like, yeah, you know, in anger, I'm just going to burn tokens because I don't think this is right. And since I'm not paying for it, I'll just burn as many tokens as I can and I'll show you, right? And the hot take on one of the episodes that I watched was, yeah, we encourage token maxing. Go for it. Now's the time to be burning tokens to learn how to use this stuff, right? That was their sort of take on it. And you know, I kind of thought about it and I was like, I guess if you have the budget for it, and what made me really think of it, it was like AWS just recently said they're taking down their leaderboards and stuff like that because people are token, they're gaming it, stuff like that. And I kind of like the take on it. Like, yeah, use your tokens. Your tokens right now are cheap. Let's be honest. So
that's the thing.
Burn them when you can.
Yeah, like they're not going to get any... Okay, well, in the current paradigm, right, of how AI works, it's not going to get any cheaper anytime soon, probably, right?
Yeah.
They're heavily subsidizing these max subscriptions, right?
Uh-huh.
So I totally agree with the idea that you should make use of that and go and figure out how to get these tools to work for you the best way that you can.
Yeah.
But I think it's so funny that they leaned into it so far as to set up leaderboards. Like, that's such a classic example of like Goodhart's law. I don't know if you're familiar.
No, I'm not. Way I thought of it is just you're measuring the wrong thing, but
totally.
Yeah.
That's basically it, right? Like once you start to measure the thing, it stops being a good metric is the gist of it. And it's exactly because people game the system, right? Yeah. So
yeah, you would have to, like, you know, this is like pretty cynical take on it, but if you measure something like that, you can't let anybody know you're actually measuring it, because once people know that, to your point, they'll just game it. They're like, okay, well, I can burn a shit ton of tokens.
Or you can't incentivize it, right? Like, you can't attach it to like bonuses or performance reviews or that kind of thing, right? Yeah. Like, if you're measuring it, that's fine. That's one thing. You have costs to keep track of, I'm sure. But you know, if you're gauging performance based on that, it's just like measuring in lines of code, right? Like, lines of codes was never a good metric for code quality or code base quality.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Or test coverage. Like, yeah, it's
silly, and yet silly another measure.
Yet silly another measure. Industry missed up.
Yeah, you're right. Okay, so I do have two very quick personal project updates. One of them is around OpenBrain. No Kanban update.
Is it working for you?
Yeah, it is. Let me rephrase. Kanban adjacent update? And I don't know if I told you this in the summit or not, but I've been working on OpenBrain for a while, right? All my context goes in there. You open it, you create a card in the Kanban, and that Kanban, or what happens behind the scenes, is we try to go and find relevant context for the ticket, right? So, okay, that ticket is for Acme Widgets. It's about a transit gateway. Let's go find what we know about the transit gateway at Acme Widgets. Okay, so worked pretty good. But what I found was I think I'm pushing almost, I don't want to exaggerate. I'm going to say more than 3,000 memories at this point. Episodic memories in OpenBrain. So
that's a lot.
It's a lot, right? When you think it's only me using it, it's a lot. And I can honestly tell you, if that thing goes away, I'm screwed. Like, like I might as well just pack up my toys and go somewhere else, because I would be much less effective, I think, than I am now. But what I found was, as we got those more and more memories, and they might just be like, I talked to Travers about X. That might be an OpenBrain, right?
Right.
The problem that I found was that it just the relevancy of those episodic memories, they get, like, as they age, they're more and more stale. Do I care about a memory that I shared or that I stored 6 weeks ago? It's probably not relevant anymore to that project. The project's moved a long way past that, especially nowadays with AI, right? So what happens now, and this came out of one of those Y Combinators, and I think we talked about this, but the idea of using AI to improve your products without me having to do anything. So I got this idea from one of those videos, and I was like, I wonder if I could create a synthesizer. So what would happen is we would essentially roll up all of the memories related to Acme Widgets Transit Gateway and basically build sort of a state. Claude called it state of play. And I was like, okay, I didn't bother with it, but whatever. So what it does now is every night it goes through all of the memories and it tries to classify them. It's like, okay, this is Acme Widgets. This is this project. This is other company, another project. So it's trying to kind of bundle them together. And then what it does is it looks at all those memories and it creates an updated state of play for every project across every customer. And then as I open a ticket, I assign it to a customer and a project, right? So I say, this is Acme Widgets Transit Gateway. And then plunk, I get the, hey, this is the current stuff for the Transit Gateway project at Acme Widgets. And I still get all my individual memories if I want to look at them, but now I've got this synthesized memory, right? Or whatever you want to call it. And it's actually been quite good. Like, I've been surprised. I kind of thought it would just be an interesting little thing to see how you can have AI improve stuff without me in the loop at all. So it's been pretty good. The other thing that it does now is, if it's unsure, when it's running through all the memories for the day, it tries to classify them, right? It's like, okay, well, I know what this is. And then if it doesn't, it tags them and dumps it into Slack. And I get like a little summary of, we think that's what this is, but we're not confident enough to classify it. You tell us. And I can just go in and say, yep, that's the right thing. And then it knows for the next night. So it's actually been pretty slick. It's worked pretty well.
That's pretty cool. I mean, that reminds me of like the dreaming systems that, like, this has got to be such a huge problem if you're hosting any kind of, if you're ChatGPT or Anthropic, right? Like, you have all these memories in the back end. How do you decide what's actually relevant and useful? So I think the approach of like synthesizing them into something, like getting like a most relevant kind of top level document that you're ranking higher, and then hitting that first, and then you can go and dive into the others after, makes a lot of sense for that. It also makes me think of like you almost want like a knowledge graph setup of the projects, like in Amazon Quick or whatever, right?
I have a
Like you want to
knowledge
like
graph feature that's sitting as a merge request. And that's a
Nice.
great example of what we talked about before. I think that was one of the ones that Claude called me out on. They're like, this is fun, but do you think you actually really need this? And I kind of felt guilty for a moment and went on, and it's still sitting there. And Claude will remind me about it every once in a while and say, don't forget about merge, X. It's still there. And I'm like, yeah, you talk shit about it, so I've just left it there. I feel bad about that merge request now, so I just leave it. So there's that one. And then one other thing was I wrote down here. One of the outcomes from the summit that I was really excited about was I sat down beside somebody from 1Password,
Oh,
and
sweet.
we started talking. And you know me, like my entire life is in 1Password. Like,
Oh,
crap.
yeah.
I'd be in deep trouble if that wasn't around. And we were just talking about AI, and she said to me, "Oh, well, you can put all that in 1Password now, right?" And I was like, "I can?" Because what I'm doing is I'm basically using the OS keychain. So
Okay, yeah.
all of my like API keys and stuff go in there. And then I define those, and Claude knows how to go and get them. Okay. And it works. Claude can do what it needs to do, but I've always been
Yeah.
just a little reluctant with it, right? Like, if
Well,
something happens to my laptop or like
yeah.
it's all gone. So I sat down after the summit and I was like, and she I said to her, "Well, is it like a feature I have to pay for? I don't know what it is." This is the best part of the story. And she's like, "No, it's right there. You should be able to find it." And I'm like, "Okay." So I went and I looked again and I'm like, "Oh, there it is." I actually used it. It's been around for a while. I actually used it in 2023. It's called a service account. And I'm like, "Hey, I finally found it." And I opened it up and there's a service account in there from 2023 that I created. And I was like, "Oh, shit." So I moved over all of the secrets for OpenBrain into
Okay.
1Password, and then there's a 1Password CLI, and
Yep.
I had it build a tool for it. I had Claude build a tool to figure out how to go and get the stuff out of the vault. So I have a
Perfect.
service account for every project, right? So I have OpenBrain, Kanban, yada yada yada, and they are bound to a specific vault. That's the only thing they can see. So actually it makes me feel way better now too, because before I would say you are never supposed to access any accounts except the ones I've given you in read only. But it's just using my local profiles, SSO profiles and
Right.
stuff. So in theory, if you're not paying a lot of attention, it does have
Yeah.
enough access. If it wanted to try to just fix something, even though I've told it not to do it, it would in theory have enough access, especially if I've already logged in a session. Right, in one of those
Yeah.
accounts, it could go.
You rolled the dice wrong one day, yeah.
Yeah, it could go. So this makes me feel a lot better because now, in theory, it would still have access to my local CLI configurations with SSO and everything. But in
Right.
theory, now it should only ever be making those CLI calls to 1Password. So it's been working, knock on wood, it's been working really well for the OpenBrain stuff. And I think it's been about a week now. I think I've created the other service accounts, but just haven't populated them yet. So I think I'll go through and start adding more and more stuff to it and try it out. But it's pretty slick.
Nice. That, I mean, that makes a ton of sense. There's got to be a way to fix the config such that you can't, like, Claude won't use your local AWS config, right? I mean, probably mess around with that a little bit, but man, that's awesome.
It's been good. So I am token maxing and proud of it.
Token Maxer, what's your count? Do you have the
Oh
plugin
God,
still or
let's see
the
here.
add-on?
What is it today? Actually, today, man, I feel shame today. It's only
Oh my
6.7 million
God.
tokens.
Only 6.7 million? Oh my
Yeah,
goodness.
I know, right? I
Gotta
have
get those
used
numbers up.
3 billion in the last 30 days, though.
Okay, that's pretty good.
I stayed up too late last night. It was games night last night, so I was dragging my ass around a
Ooh,
little bit
nice.
today. So, didn't burn through so many tokens today. All right. Where are we? Gen AI news. Speaking of tokens, let's talk about Fable 5.
Oh my god, yeah. New model alert. A new model is dropped.
Yes. Yeah, we need a little we need a little like alarm. Woo, goes off, right? Little like old school like police thing. Yeah, absolutely, new model, right? Yep. What do you think? Have you tried it yet?
I have. I did get the chance to use it today.
Yeah.
I spent about an hour working with it and burned through my token limit. So I'm on the 5X plan.
You burned through your token limit?
For the session. The session
limit. Oh, yeah. Session limit. Okay.
But to be fair, I was pointing it to my harness project, which is like 300,000 lines of code. It's like a total disaster that I've been cobbling together since January, basically.
Yeah.
And it had some really good insights and recommendations on it. So I used it sparingly on a couple other projects as well, just within the budget that I had. It seems pretty good. Seems pretty solid, I think.
I haven't tried it yet.
Yeah.
I was going to try it today, and then I got pulled into a call and just didn't get time to go back. So I think first thing I'm going to do in the morning is in one project, basically change the model and give it a whirl and see if I burn through my tokens.
Nice.
Yeah.
It seems like it's basically state of the art in every category according to the benchmarks. It's the latest and greatest. It's $10 per million, $50 per million out, that kind of thing. Same kind of Anthropic deal there. So there's some weird quirks about the system card that I noticed. I don't know if you saw this. Mm-hmm. But if you are working on LLM technology, the model may decide just to stop working for you. And it won't tell you. But it'll kind of like short your performance, basically.
Really?
Or stifle that. So,
I guess that's an
anti-competition.
They don't want you to use their fancy models to build your competitor.
Seems like. Or they don't want it to be able to accelerate model development. Because I don't know if you saw this, but they had a huge announcement of like asking for a pause for AI development.
I did see that.
Another one, rather.
Yeah.
So, another marketing push from Anthropic.
Now that we're in the lead, clearly in the lead, and everybody wants to, we should just stop all development.
Yeah.
Seems
just freeze everything.
Yeah. Just stop where we are while I have a nice, healthy lead. The other thing I wrote down about the system card there, I noticed some big jumps in the benchmarks, which I know you always like. I didn't write down the exact numbers, but a big jump in capabilities around cybersecurity, which makes sense, right? And the other one that I noticed in there was spatial reasoning. The other models like GPT-5.4 or 5.5, I think it was on the card too. It had a really decent spatial reasoning compared to Opus 4.8. And this thing just leapfrogged ahead of it in the spatial reasoning category. I've never even thought of trying to use it for any sort of spatial reasoning, but I just the numbers really jumped out at me because of how much it had improved from Opus 4.8, which has only been around for how long? Like a month?
Like 14 days?
Is it only 14 Opus days? 4.8.
I think I made a note of this, but I think Opus 4.8 came out in May 20th or something. It hasn't been out for very long.
that's crazy. And then I noted that you shared an article from Simon Willison about his initial impressions of Fable, and I wrote down here what I don't know if this is a direct quote or paraphrase from it's slow, expensive, and has to be quite happy churning through everything I throw at it, was the comment that I wrote.
That echoes that's been my experience too. It's just been capable, I don't know how else to describe it. It handles sub agents really well to churn through tasks, so seems solid. A couple other weird things about it that I noticed is they retain all the data for 30 days.
Okay.
for retention and safety monitoring, regardless of where you're using it from. This is for Mythos class traffic or whatever that means.
Yeah.
So I think Fable is on that tier as well. I could be wrong though.
Okay.
But yeah, so you won't be able to have like that kind of totally isolated traffic that you had before. Just a
Yeah.
note.
Maybe they just want to make sure they understand how people are using it because it is so
Yeah,
powerful. Maybe they're a little concerned.
the justification is safety. I mean, they seem extremely concerned about all that. They have like Fable is like a nerf version of Mythos, right?
Yeah.
Ostensibly, so it has like less cyber capabilities, less bio capabilities.
Yeah, and some tighter guardrails around stuff. It'll just revert to Opus if it doesn't want to answer
Yeah.
that. Yeah, which I thought was interesting,
If
right?
it picks up you're trying to distill or to perform distillation attacks, it'll default you to 4.8, which okay, fair enough, I guess.
The other thing that I saw in the, I think it was the Simon Wilson article, was even on a Claude Max plan, it will be extra billing as of June 22nd.
Wow, really? Okay. That
Yeah,
sucks.
do me a, yeah, that's what I thought. Do me a favor and follow that link, the initial impressions of Claude Fable 5. That's Simon Wilson again. Why did I get this? And let me just find it. Okay, and I'll read it. Where is it? Okay, so it's 1, 2, 3, 4. The fifth paragraph. The models have a 1 million token context window, 128,000 maximum output tokens, and a knowledge cutoff date. Oh, knowledge cutoff date. That's not what I wanted. Where is it? Where is it? Okay, so
Let's see.
tokens. Oh man, did I just read this wrong? No, that's January. Okay, hold on. Search June. Maybe I just. Oh no, here it is. Using Fable in Claude AI. There we go. And here's what it says.
Okay.
Blah blah blah. So he says here that the Claude AI chat fit it's available through Claude AI chat interface, Claude Code for web, Claude Code CLI, Claude Code Work as well. The model is available in quotes until June 22nd on the subscription plans. I'm on a $100 a
Okay.
month max at the moment, which after it will be billed extra. But that's in a subsection in the article that says Claude AI. So maybe it's only for Claude
Okay.
AI.
That would make sense. I don't know why they would restrict it from their some of their most valuable users, right?
Yeah.
Like, if you're shelling out for the max plan, you're already spending what, $200, $300 a month, depending on where you are.
Yeah.
And you have to pay extra. I mean, that seems crazy,
Yeah.
but
I talked to a buddy on the weekend. Talk about token maxing. I talked to a buddy on the weekend. He's on the 20X plan.
Oh yeah, I'm
Yeah.
considering it. I
Yeah?
was also considering canceling, so
Oh,
we'll see.
he it's at either end, it's like the extremes. I'm either gonna up it or just zero it. Why are you gonna cancel it? Try
Yeah.
a different model for a while?
Because 5.5, the max plan on that is doing everything I need it to right now.
Yeah.
The difference maker will be if Fable is worth paying for
Okay.
me.
Okay.
I just get so much capacity out of that. Like I'm getting so many tokens out of that 5.5 plan right now that
Yeah.
it's hard to justify maintaining both subs right now.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, makes sense, right? What else do we have here? There's another Claude, a good Claude technical article that you shared about how they contain how Anthropic contains Claude across their products. I thought this was a really good technical article. Excuse me, a couple things that jumped out at me right away was, you know how Claude will be like, "Are you sure? Are you sure? Are you sure you want me to do that?" And they said something like, "More than 90% of the times that Claude asks you if you're sure, people say yeah." And the more that they ask you, the less likely you are as a human to even read it. You're just like, "Oh, come on, just
It's
do it, right?" And I wrote down Claude crying wolf, right? Just, after a while, you're just like, dude, just
Yeah.
do it, man. And then that's the one time that you probably should have been paying attention and oh shit. So I thought that was really interesting part of the article, where they're trying
to classic
clean that up
decision
a bit.
Fatigue, right?
Yeah, after a while, right? The other one I thought was interesting was that Anthropic themselves constrains where those agents are running by using sandboxes. Right? Which
that makes sense.
Which we've talked a lot about here. I've never seen an article from Anthropic. I see lots of articles from Docker saying you should run everything in a sandbox on a micro VM. But this is the first time in my recollection that I ever remember them basically saying to you, hey, we run these in sandboxes. And my first reaction to that is then why am I not running it in a sandbox? Why am I giving it full access to my operating system? If you don't do that, why don't I do that? Or why am I doing that?
Well, think of it's risk tolerance, right? Like how many times can they afford to let models go and delete important systems or important documents? Like it's a big PR hit for them.
I get that.
For you, are you going to be the one that lightning, I guess it's probably a little more frequent than lightning strikes, but you know, are you going to be the one who falls victim to that? That's the risk tolerance you have to think about. Yeah.
But you think about how people use their computers nowadays, right? Like mm-hmm. think of just a silly example, right? How many photos you might have on your laptop, how many emails, just important files that you've stored, and that agent just decides one day to do something that you didn't expect. And earlier in the article, they're like, hey, people just don't read those. Are you sure things anyways? So you're just,
they don't, and nobody backs up their data.
Yeah. Like, you know,
99% of people don't have a regular backup, right? Like you have to, either you're an IT regular or you happen to hear an advertisement for one of the services at one point, right? Like, or your computer died and you're like, I never want this to happen again. Right.
But most people don't. Like, I just thought that was interesting that it's like, hey, we run this on sandboxes and your logic is sound. But my first reaction is if you're doing that, why the hell am I not doing that? And should I? Like, we've talked already today about, right? It's kind of like we already said, you don't think about it until bad shit happens. And then you're like, oh man, I guess I should be running those in sandboxes. And then you spend the next week recovering all your shit because something really bad happened. I don't know. I think it's got to be, Claude will probably tell me I'm just getting distracted, but I probably need to figure out some sandbox, probably just Docker sandboxes or VMs or whatever they call them, right? Micros?
Probably.
Yeah.
I think there's going to be it's going to be a change in how developers actually work, in terms of like, you're going to have to figure out or use a service that sets up your remote desktop environment for you, right? And manages all that, so you're not running it on like your local machine. Yeah. If you're worried about that, or you'll have to use some kind of Docker container. But
mainframe.
Sorry,
man.
What were you saying?
Mainframe days.
Back to mainframe.
We're going back.
Oh my god.
You got your dumb terminal here, and you're connecting to the smart thing on the network somewhere.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be surprised when it happens, and I'll be able. That's my big prediction. I'll be able to say, "Do you remember in episode 49 when I was like, yay, I finally got something right. Yay."
You've been saying mainframes for years, though.
Yeah, I think our personal computer days are numbered, right? So, which is actually a decent segue into another Claude-related article that I thought was really good. Is it Railway? Claude, please rack me data center and make no mistakes. What a great title, right?
I love to make no mistakes.
Yeah, that's about perfect. Clickbait. I'm reading that, right?
This was a really good read if you're at all interested in the logistics of how a data center is set up and commissioned.
Yeah.
But essentially what they did is they walked through the whole process. They set up Claude to design the wiring diagrams, the system layouts and all that, the inter-machine communication setups. For one of their data centers, and Railway is like a cloud deployment provider. They have like a like for quick web app deployments mostly. I feel like
it's like a wrapper around the other hypervisors, isn't it, or the hyperscalers?
Yeah. Well, I think they run their own data centers now.
Oh, do they? Okay.
For the most part.
The reason I said that was I remember these guys from an article that we talked about a couple, probably longer than I think ago. Didn't somebody like have Railway basically nuke a bunch of their shit.
I thought yeah, it was that's Railway. The thing. Like, you can deploy an environment on Railway, and yeah. that's your application stack, right? And I'm not sure about this. It's quite possible that they were using AWS or another cloud provider at the time, or GCP or mm-hmm. something like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, same kind of deal. That you deploy your web application, and it's like a managed service for hosting and your web app.
A couple things that jumped out at me on this one. I love the fact that, like, you get an idea of how much they're scaling. They said what used to give yeah. them 3 months of runway now lasts only 3 weeks. and the segue into this article was just they made the comment a couple times in the article, like saying they just you get the hardware that you get, and you put your order in, and you just get it when you get it. So it kind of goes back to the mainframe idea, in the sense that this stuff is so expensive, so scarce. Like, they're even talking there in that article about, you know, not getting access to glass. Like, forget memory.
Yeah.
You don't have fiber. So
you can't.
You yeah. can't get fiber, right? It's so crazy.
Yeah, it was really interesting too. Like, it's about the streamlining of the process of setting up one of these data centers, right? So when you have a manual process or manual steps in the process, you can run into issues or errors. But Claude is good enough now where you can have it kind of go through these steps and reduce that error incidence yep. rate. Yep. And it's better than most than like most human pass-throughs of that yep. specific task.
Yeah. Humans are the cool bottleneck. That's my take on this article, is like, we have to build, when we were building less infrastructure, right? We could build partial infrastructure in a data center and move on to the next one, and then loop back and kind of upscale the first one. And we had the bodies and stuff that we needed to kind of run through those cycles. And now they can't do it based on the scale that they have to do. They also said, like, finding the people that have the proper skills to be able to do this is increasingly hard. And I love the line in there, yep. artisanal human-led Excel build documents. They just don't cut it anymore, right? I think that's fantastic. And then, because we talk about it all the time, is they mention the fact that it even has an MCP server built into it, where you can basically just say, hey, I added this, or I need this, and it's an MCP call off to the agent that is updating documentation or databases and stuff like that for you. Really cool technical article.
Totally. It makes sense. It's like a really procedural kind of task, right? You have to spec this whole thing out. And where you find a lot of errors is like copy paste or bad inputs, data, that kind of thing, right? So if you can eliminate that, then you're off to the races.
You're in good shape, right? I did move a couple things off to other stuff that we'll maybe leave for next week or whatever. But the last one I want to talk about, because it's a topic that we always talk about, is the one click in VS Code full shell for the attacker. Here we go again, right?
Oh boy, here we go again. Yeah,
here we go MCP again. It was an MCP tool, right?
Yep.
Yeah, crazy. So essentially, what you could, you basically in VS Code, you get the little install screen, and they're showing you fields, but it has hidden fields as well, and you click install, and it's game over.
Yeah, so like what you can do is you can have like a special link for like a deep link for installing MCPs in VS Code. And if you're clicking on the wrong thing in a whatever web page or whatnot, let's say it's a malicious link that you click on, it'll just in the background pull up VS Code, install it, and then boom, you are severely pwned, as they say.
Yeah. You know, just another example of things we've talked about. It feels like every week we're talking about just deciding on your level of comfort or level of trust in these, I'm just going to call them app repos nowadays. Like, man, it just, you know, you got to trust those sources. And if you got to, it's just,
you got to review everything that you're installing now.
Yeah. It's kind of like the silly example I've always given. Like, you wouldn't walk down the street and pick up a USB key and just plug it into your laptop. But we're more than willing to fire up our favorite tool and just go to the tool repo and go, this looks neat. This looks neat. I'll install this. And
yeah, no problem.
Yeah. I think those days are gone, man. You probably don't want to do that anymore.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you ever wanted to do that, to do that, to be honest.
What, the
I mean, unless you could
USB
have
key
like
off the
a
street or
malicious.bat file on there. Yeah, you don't do that.
Yeah,
Never
don't
do
do that.
that.
Yeah. But I don't know. I would say like not too long ago, were people as aware of the craziness that's available in these apps? I'm using the term app store. I know it's not really an app store, but it's just what makes sense in my head. Like, I don't think people really were. You just trusted those because they were in the tool that you trusted. And
Yeah, there's some expectation that Microsoft would vet that, right?
yeah, you would
Basically.
think, right? I would
But
say,
Microsoft,
oh, go ahead, go ahead.
they've had some really bad issues with security disclosures and the plugin store in VS Code lately. We can get into that next time, but yeah, they've been lagging on that.
I just don't think you should trust that stuff anymore. Plus, we have the tools now. Why
Yeah.
couldn't you just build what you wanted for yourself?
That's true. That's true. For the most part, you can put together like an 80% version of what you need
Yeah.
pretty quickly, so.
And it's just you using it anyways. It's not like you're going to sell it to
Yeah.
customers and stuff. It's just your own. I've used this term all the time, right? It's my personal software. So is it as shiny as it could be? No, right? But it's only me that's using it and it does what I need. So if I could have insert your favorite AI tool, build that tool for me, why wouldn't I just do that?
Yeah, and you know what? If it breaks on you, tokens are cheap. Just
Tokens are
yeah,
token
send off
maxing,
the agent.
man. Go figure out how it works. Your tokens are cheap
Max
right
it
now.
out.
Max it out, burn those
Max your
tokens.
tokens. Max your credit card. Max it all.
Did make sure you turn off your overages though.
Yeah, don't allow it.
Yeah,
Don't turn
I
on extra
actually
usage unless you know.
the first month that I used my Claude Max plan, I had that turned on. And I
Ooh.
misunderstood what it meant, which is silly as I
Ew.
say it out loud, 'cause I got something, I got like I don't know how to phrase it. I got some credits in my account when I signed up.
Okay.
And in my brain, when I turned on that usage button, I was using those credits, but I wasn't. So yeah,
Okay.
my first month, my bill was more than what I expected, but I, you know, so it wasn't horrible, but it was like, wait a second, why am I getting two bills for this? And then I went and looked and I was like, oh, you dumbass. So then it was like, click that button, man. You don't want to do that. Right? So, anyways, that is the show. You have any recommendations for the week?
We went to go see Backrooms. It was good. It was fun. I liked it.
It was good. It was fun.
Yeah.
I don't know if I
It
want to pay
was
for that.
I don't know if it's worth okay, honestly, it was a decent movie. I think you're okay to wait. I think you can wait for it.
That was my take on it, that I'd probably be okay to wait. The other one that the other one that everybody's freaking out about is Obsession. Are you gonna go see that?
You know, Obsession came. Interesting thing about this movie is it came out last year,
Did it
and I
really?
don't know why it's getting. Yeah, I don't know why it's getting a theatrical release right now. Maybe it got picked up in a film festival or something. But I am excited to see it. That's at the top of my list. I want to see that. I want to see Hokum, and then the Masters of the Universe movie. I'm
Oh
going to get
yeah.
suckered into that, I'm sure.
Oh,
But.
you know what? That okay, so I'm a little older than He-Man days, but I will admit I was working night shift. So what was it,
Oh,
11 to
yeah.
7, right? And the way it worked for me is I would treat it like a day shift. So I would get up at like 10 o'clock at night and go to work. So when I came home at
Oh,
7,
yeah.
it was like my afternoon, right? My evening. So I would stay up. And it was just as I got home from university, so I was still living at home. And I'd come home and I'd watch cartoons. Because, you know, that's what every 20-year-old that's
Yeah, why
just home
not?
from university, all my friends are at work, right? So I'm just like, well, what the hell am I gonna
Yeah.
do? I'd sit on the couch and watch cartoons and, you know, Power Rangers and Masters of the Universe, all those.
Awesome.
I will go see that movie in the theater. I think it would be probably a lot of fun to go see that in the theater.
I think so too. It seems like a good time.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
Yeah.
Do I have any recommendations this week? Use as many tokens as you can afford to use, but don't max out your credit cards.
Don't go
right?
over.
Now's the time to learn these things, right? Get ahead of the curve as best as you can. And watch, like, find good YouTube content. I can't stress enough, man. So many great ideas are out there, and people are just telling you about the cool shit they're building, and try to replicate it. Like, just build your own tool based on something that you saw. That would be my recommendation for the week.
Yeah,
I know it's helped me a lot. Like, I think if I mention the five levels of AI to somebody, they're gonna punch me in the head because it's like it's still. If I think of the inflection point for me was when you and I talked about that article and I read it and I was like, oh, shit.
Yep.
Right? I'm
is
not,
this
I'm,
possible? And it turns out
it 100%
it's pretty
is.
Much possible. Yeah.
Yep. It pretty much is. So my recommendation is burn those tokens when they're cheap and go learn some stuff. Right?
Agreed.
It's going to serve you well. All right, man. On that philosophical note... Let's play our cool outro music.
Sounds good.
We'll see everybody next week.
Software used to cost $1 million.